Welcome back. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder and president of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hi, Martin. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Scott. It's I don't know if it's appropriate to mention the timeline, but it's spring where I am, and I don't know what it is. Even in my advanced age, I still feel renewed. You know, there's something about the springtime that brings these thoughts of, well, I don't know, renewal or youth or vigor. I don't know.
Vitality.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes.
It's good. I know the cherry blossoms are out on the trees where I am. It's magnificent.
Yes. I don't get cherry blossoms, but I get longer days and sunlight that's more intense, and it really feels good.
It does. It does. So the spring is the coming of the new life.
That's it.
And I understand there's some new life enthusiast stuff happening that we should share with everybody.
Of course, yeah. We always keep on expanding. We are finding things that are worth having, and so it's time for announcements. So we have added to the Transderma line of products silver, colloidal silver. This is something that's not terribly new in the world, but we have finally connected with a company that I think is worthy of supporting. Colloidal silver is an easy-to-make thing if you want a so-so product, an exceedingly difficult-to-make thing if you want supreme quality.
Hmm. Okay. So what do we use colloidal silver for?
Up until the age of antibiotics, up until the advent of penicillin, the only reliable way of keeping microbes like viruses, bacteria, and fungus in check or in balance was silver. And in the old days, old Romans and Greeks perhaps, they would put a silver coin in the bottom of the amphora to keep water from going stale, or milk from spoiling, or wine to not go off, or something like that.
This is where we came up with the old saying, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, because they used the silver spoon would kill the bacteria in the food that the babies were eating.
Right. Well, silver certainly was a sign of being well off. And so those who could afford it, they had silver spoon instead of a wooden thing that Grandpa whittled out of an old willow tree. But yes, indeed, the people who could afford silver serving and or utensils, they were the ones. It was a sign of having arrived.
Right.
So what's important is this fellow that I have finally connected with is a multi-year, 40-year practice as a material scientist. Wow. This fellow really knows his stuff. I have the pictures of the production facility here, and it's just so impressive. He actually puts on his label, pure water, 0.00 parts per million. And then silver, 5 parts per million. And this is quite important. Having pure water and just silver, nothing else, is really good. Because it's not so hard to make silver using an aquarium bubbler and a battery and a cup and an old silver coin and your mother's salad. You know, you can do that. But it's not quite the same product.
And so what's different? Like, say it's not the same product, so how is it different in terms of...
The biggest concern is the particle size. You know, like, big difference between colloidal and ionic. You know, things that are colloidal, they are actually not dissolved. They are suspended.
So what is colloidal?
So the difference is that if it's ionic, it actually dissolves, meaning that, there, for instance, if you have sodium chloride, the common table salt, it will actually separate the sodium ion from the chloride ion, and they will float within the solution independent of one another. Hmm. And it will be essentially invisible in water. I mean, you cannot tell that you have the salt in water by just looking at it. But with the colloid is simply small particles suspended in water. The particles are so small that water is actually bumping it around. You know, there's this particular action, I think it's called Tyndale, where if you shine a light sideways at the solution, you will see that there are actually particles suspended in it.
So we're not talking about something that's like you put salt in water, it just becomes part of the water, whereas what we're talking about is particles that are suspended in the water but aren't like bonded to the water or
into
the water?
Yes. So if you try and make your own, you might end up with particles that are large as opposed to tiny. The tiny is good. So that's what you want to have, is small, uniform size colloids, tiny particles of the silver. Anyway, the main benefit of colloidal silver is that it messes with the breathing or oxygenation capacity of these primitive organisms. This includes viral, bacterial, and fungal. So if you have infections, such as the ones that you would want to treat with antibiotics, but that antibiotic is no longer effective, you must go back to the old ways, which, here's your colloidal silver. It'll work. It'll take you out of trouble. So you may have heard of this this horrendous trouble called MRSA or MRSA. Have you?
Yep.
Methicillin-resistant Streptococcus aureus. That's what those four letters stand for. So if you break it down, Streptococcus, basic strep throat as we know it. But methicillin-resistant means that this bug has become modified enough that it can safely ignore even the most powerful antibiotics known to us today.
So we can't kill it normally?
We cannot kill it with antibiotics.
What else
this
do
is
you use?
Colloidal silver.
Hmm.
So
this, rather than cutting it out and doing surgery to get rid of this bacteria, which probably wouldn't work very well.
Well, how do you cut bacteria? I mean, your scalpel is not small enough to deal with it, right? I mean, you could cut off an infected limb, but that's
kind of a drastic measure.
Yes. So what you have here is you've been reading about hospital closures, where an entire ward or even an entire building has to be closed and scrubbed from top to bottom. Everything emptied, every piece of furniture that's in there burned, all the wall and receptacles and everything taken apart and dunk in poisons and whatever's to try and scrub this thing so that the building becomes sterile again, or at least not infected with these creatures that no longer respond to the antibiotics. Because nowadays, the most dangerous place for a person to go to is a hospital.
Right. It's a sad thing, isn't it?
Well, it's, yes, it is a very sad thing. Just recently, I watched on the CBC, Canadian Broadcast Corp, I watched a program. The reporters decided to test chicken for antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So they went ahead across the country. They bought 100 samples in different supermarkets. They bought 100 samples of chickens, took it all apart, sent it to two or three independent labs for testing. Even the organic chicken had one antibiotic-resistant bug on it.
Wow.
So, of course, they were puzzled. How is it possible? Of course, that turns out that particular chicken was processed in the same processing plant that processes also the ordinary stuff.
All right.
So it got picked up along the way. But the most common problem in poultry is that the farmers are feeding the chickens antibiotics in their feed. They just do that because chickens gain weight faster when they eat antibiotics. Hmm. And that's because their immune system doesn't have to fight with the invaders. So because you offload the immune system, the bird is gaining weight faster because none of its energy is diverted to dealing with infections. So this has been a tool for making the chicken less expensive or growing the meat faster. So on the chicken side, this looks like a great idea. But now you deliver this chicken to the market, and it's now coated with microbes that are actually resistant to the antibiotics. So if you should happen to somehow get it on your hand and then lick it, or if your child would perhaps somehow touch it and then lick it or whatever, you stand a huge chance of getting infected with this. If you cook it, it's not a problem, right? Once you cook the meat, anything that was on it is dead. But if you touch the packaging and end up with transferring it on the door of your fridge, and then you, even though you wash your hands, you pick it up and then you put it in your mouth again later, you're going to get the infection. And this is on the rise. People are becoming infected with these intractable infections. They just can't deal with them. So hallelujah, we still have the good old standby colloidal silver.
So why is it that these antibiotics we develop will not work after a certain length of time, but colloidal silver, which you had already said was around since the Greek and Roman times, which would be 2,500 years, and it still works?
Well, an antibiotic is a living thing. It's like a fungus, right? Penicillin was grown as a... I think it was some kind of a green mold growing on an old piece of bread, if I remember correctly. It's a living thing. You can mutate, being virus or being bacterium, you can mutate to adjust to the genetic imprint of these things that previously would limit your growth. But with silver, you don't have a chance. You come in contact with silver, your oxygen, your breathing, they don't breathe like we do, but your colic breathing is disabled, you die. There's no genetics involved. There's no mutation involved. You're dead.
Okay. So basically what we have is an all-natural substance, relatively speaking.
Well, it's not natural and it's not nice. I mean, it's a heavy metal, okay? So we don't want to treat this lightly. I don't want to recommend to anyone that they drink it on an ongoing basis, or, you know, this is not something that you want to use all the time. This is something you want to use when you need it.
Right. So this is not a preventative substance.
No.
So I have a pneumonia or I have a flu, I drink a teaspoon of colloidal silver.
Yes, you actually drink more. You take a tablespoon and you just go with it.
Now, does my body need some silver normally?
No. I'm not aware of any RDA for silver.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So that's good. So basically, it's not that I'm run out of silver in my body or a trace mineral or anything like that or trace metal. I just happen to... I have a fungus, I have a flu, I have a bacteria, I have a virus, and if I put a little bit of silver into my system, when it comes into contact with the virus or the flu, it basically suffocates them and they're gone.
Yes, it wipes it out. But one needs to understand, this wipes out your good bacteria, bad bacteria, all of it. This is the same flags as we have had with antibiotics. How we tell people, listen, if you take antibiotics, you need to start, after that, you need to repopulate your digestive system with probiotics and the good guys.
Right.
Same story.
So what probiotics would you recommend after? So I've had this flu. I've decided, okay, I'm taking some tablespoons of colloidal silver over the next couple of days. Now, oh, my flu is gone. I'm feeling better, but I know that I've killed all the good and the bad bacteria in my system. I need to replenish it. What would you recommend?
Well, you need to have multiple strains. You need to have some strains for your small intestine and something for the large intestine. So, you need to have at least a few billion. You know, you want 15 billion creatures and you want to have many, many names. You want not just two strains. You know, the little yogurts that are advertised all over television lately. You know, the ones with the two strains of probiotics.
Right.
That's a joke. It helps, but it is absolutely not adequate for, shall we call it, a therapeutic situation. I have a great product here, Generation Plus Floracol. Beautifully well formulated, or Exula Strataflora. Those things are just phenomenal. I mean, all you have to do is just look up on the Life Enthusiast under products, supplements, probiotics. That's where these things are listed. So we go broad spectrum. You need something that has many names on it.
Right, so we need lots of this stuff.
You need a really broad spectrum, because, you know, like your gas has about 600 different creatures in its species. You need something broad spectrum. And, there are common names like Lactobacilli or Bifidus or, Artro. Artrobacter, Astobacter, and Bacillus this and that and the other, and anyway, long list of things.
Cool.
So, that's what you need. I don't know how to express it politely, you know, but essentially, you need to have first the wipeout, and then the repopulation.
Right.
And what's interesting, I was talking to some people, researchers, who work with people with autism, kids with autism, and they tell me that they found that kids with autism have a very broken digestive system. And so when you try to start them with probiotics, it's actually like an open warfare. You know, the bad guys that have well established themselves are fighting the good guys that you're supplementing from the top. And things are not going easy. It's an uprising. And what they found that instead, using either an antibiotic or colloidal silver, you wipe out the entire digestive tract, just kill everything, and then repopulates. And you repopulate with the good guys, and none of this war, none of this uprising, none of this warfare takes place. So it's way easier on the person who has had a very broken digestive system that's been overgrown with the bad guys. And you will, I don't know if you stop by reading on the forums where people with candida and yeast infections and that sort of thing are writing their stories. The most common they write about is die-off. Die-off and herks. You know, these are the words that they use for, I'm feeling like hell. I'm suffering while I'm trying to get better. And if they understood that that the way to do this is actually to just wipe out everything and just simply reseed it, they would have a way easier time of it. So this is where the colloidal silver would be a wonderful, welcome addition to their treatment plan.
Right, right. So if I cut myself, I put colloidal silver on, and that would help the healing of the cut?
Absolutely, yeah. Dip all of your broken skin in it. So cover it, spray it on. We actually sell it in two forms. We have it in a 250 or 8-ounce bottle with the sprayer on top, and a 500cc 16-ounce bottle that we would call a refill. And so the one with the sprayer is fantastic. I mean, you can spray it on your skin. It's great because it will deal with things that are just not healing on your surface. Mm-hmm. You know, from scrapes, cuts, I don't know what else. Well, zits, you know, like all of the stuff that ends up with white heads and yellow heads and black heads and all of that.
That's a lot of bacteria.
That's bacteria growing where they shouldn't be. This sort of thing. You know,
okay, like, so one of the things we talk about often is how wonderful it is to get the magnesium salts or the Himalaya bath salts and have a nice bath and just let the magnesium be absorbed into the body.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a good idea to put a little bit, you know, a cap full of colloidal silver in the bath?
Well, the only thing I can promise, it will kill any bacteria that are in the bath. So, I guess, yes, it makes sense.
Would it kill the bacteria that may be on the surface of my skin?
Yes, it would, yeah.
And then, if, like warts, for example, is a virus, right?
Yes.
So that would be a good way to, you know, loosen up the wart and...
To treat it? Yes.
I guess you could do a foot bath too if it was on your foot, or
yes,
but if it's on your elbow, just put that on.
Uh-huh.
But so there's, okay, but it wouldn't harm you in terms of your body absorbing the colloidal silver,
because you're breathing differently from the little microbes.
Right.
Yes, and
so there's another use of it.
Yes, that's right, and also in your mouth. You know, like if you're suffering periodontal issues. If you have gingivitis, bad breath, that's all bacteria growing in places where it shouldn't. So you can disinfect your toothbrush with it, and you can brush your teeth and gums with it.
So what about the bacteria that's supposed to be in my mouth?
Oh, they'll come back. I'm sure you can kill all of them with a bit of colloidal silver.
Right. So what you're saying is if somebody has, and I mean, really, periodontal disease, all these problems of the mouth are incredibly common. So the chances are we all have it. Specifically, if anybody has eaten a donut in the last 6 months,
or if you have kissed somebody who did,
or kissed somebody, yeah. Good point. Ooh. So there you go. If you've kissed somebody in the last couple months, then you need to
disinfect your mouth.
And so that seems to me is a really good use of the colloidal silver. Swish it around and then, you know, spit it out, or put it on the toothbrush, brush your teeth with it, and that can have a huge impact on our oral health.
Absolutely, yes. And then of course
it's not going to cost you $2,000 like it would at the dentist.
Right, well, prevention always is way less expensive. So can you think of what you would do with your kitchen counters and this silver sprayer? Right? Like instead of worrying whether you have or haven't left some chicken, I don't know what, smears on your counter, right?
Yeah.
You can spray it. I mean, you can use Lysol, of course, but the silver is very effective.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's damage the environment and everything else, or let's just use the colloidal silver.
That's right.
And when it goes down the sink and into the sewer system, all it does is kill bacteria, although you'll have the cleanest sewer system in your neighborhood.
All the way down. Yes.
Cool. That sounds very, very exciting, Martin.
Yes, I think it's a very useful addition to the lineup of products that we have to offer to the people.
That's transdermal silver.
Yes.
Which we find under the brands and transdermal.
Right. Or you can find it under products. Products, it would be health, antibacterial, antiviral.
There it is. Third one from the top on the left-hand side.
Yes, I wouldn't try and record that because the lineup may change depending on what we add or delete. but it will be in the products under health, antibacterial, antiviral.
Plus you could just do a search for colloidal silver.
Right.
And it would come up there on the side. And that's at www.life-enthusiast.com.
Right. And if you can't find it, call us. It is 1-866-543-3388. We'll be there and answer your questions and help you figure out what you need to know.
Great. So you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week.